What's up, guys? Welcome the faithful survivors of Thanksgiving who made it this morning, the Sunday morning on Thanksgiving break. That's awesome. Way to go. You're in the home stretch, almost to Christmas break, right? Like a couple more weeks. Hang in there. Well, what is in the home stretch is this series, In God We Trust. This is our last week of it. Just as a reminder, we have been talking about living in a country where the motto is, In God We Trust. And how can we as Christians, as people following Christ, if we have put our faith in Christ, how can we live that out? How can we live out In God We Trust living in the United States of America in 2020 and beyond? And so over the past several weeks, we've talked about a lot of different topics and given you guys a lot of ways to think about certain topics that are an important piece of our national conversation going on right now. It's been really fun for me to journey with you in this, and I know our team as well. We've really enjoyed it. I hope it's been helpful to you guys. And as we close today, we're going to talk through one more of the kind of hotly contested, hotly debated topics in our country. And that's the topic of abortion and life. I know that topic is probably one that, like, if you were to talk about you guys as a whole, is probably the one that statistically impacts you guys the least. But because it is one that is at the center of a lot of debates, we're gonna touch on it. And then I'm going to kind of wrap up the series in a way that I think will be helpful to you going forward. So let me pray, and then we will jump in. God, thank you for this time. God, to open up your word. God, to just reflect on how good you are, the blessing that it is to live in the country we live in, to be able to freely attend here, to be able to freely be a part of a church, to freely worship and speak about you without fear of consequence, at least dire, life-threatening consequence. God, I just pray that you teach us today that we might be faithful as we live in this country. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So when we're talking about abortion, you know, for the Christian, this topic and this issue is about protecting the life of an unborn child in the womb. Really, we're speaking up for somebody who literally has no voice of their own. And that's why the issue is such a divisive one. When it comes to this issue, there's really not a lot of room for compromise. I mean, the reality is there's really only a couple outcomes. And as a Christian, we're going, hey, we want to protect life wherever it exists. And we'll talk a little bit more later on why that is and why that mindset is. And so in this issue, here's what you find. People that would defend the right to have abortions, people that would land on the other side of that maybe as the Christian, they wouldn't deny that there is a human being in the womb. But what they would deny is that, hey, that human being's rights are less. They would say that human being has. They would not say that human being has the same rights as the woman carrying that baby, right? It kind of becomes an idea of a human being versus a human person, an acknowledgement of personhood more than anything else. This mom is a human person, so her rights override those of the human being that's in her womb, who's maybe not quite yet a person. And so that's kind of where the other side would generally land on that topic. There's a lot of more nuance there, but generally speaking, that is kind of where that side would land. And so that brings up a question that should come naturally as we hear that. What's the difference between a human being and a human person? Is there a difference? What point do a person's rights come into play in being a person? And so it's a really crucial and important question when you're talking about this topic. And so from a pro-life perspective, hey, when you hear the term pro-life, that's like, hey, we would be against the idea of abortion. We would promote life and protect it wherever we find it. There's a few ways to think about that question. That question of what's the difference between a human being and a human person, is there one? And I think some of these points will be helpful. So we'll run through them. And they all refer to arguments you would hear from that other side. The other side being the one that says, hey, you know, that It might be a human being, but as a person, it doesn't have rights yet. And so we'll talk through some of those arguments and then the response to those. And we'll try applying them to other aspects of humans, of people, and see if they hold up. Okay, now these are going to spell out the word sled with an extra D, S-L-E-D-D. So it'll be kind of easy to remember for you. And so we're just going to run through all five of these. Okay, so the first one is size. Okay, and the size question is, hey, does the size of a human determine personhood? So this idea that, hey, a baby in a womb is really small. So does that determine, they don't have the same rights because they're not, they're just a small, not even a fully born baby. Well, this question of, hey, does size of a human determine whether or not they're a person? Well, you guys should probably hope not, because you guys are all still have, all of you still have growth spurts ahead of you, hopefully. You're thinking, I hope so too, some of you guys. And so it'd be crazy to think that a senior in high school, just because they're bigger than you, means that you don't have personhood, that you are not a human person, that you don't have rights. That'd be crazy. That wouldn't even make sense. And in the same way, there's an unborn baby that has rights. Even though it's smaller, it still is a person. It's no less a person than you and I, just because it's smaller. So that would be the size argument. The next one would be level of development. And here's the question with that. Does the point to which a human is developed determine personhood? One argument that you would hear would be, hey, because that baby is not fully developed yet, it doesn't have the rights that a human person has. Or at least, it doesn't have the rights that would override a mom's right to just terminate that pregnancy. And so let's apply this idea in other places. And this is another one that hits home for you guys, because you guys are not fully developed yet. Even some of your voices are still continuing to develop. Nobody can say if your voice is cracking, your personhood is lacking. That's a dad joke. But I'm a dad, so I can make that joke. But nobody would say that. And so in the same way, you can apply that to an unborn child. Hey, just because they're not developed doesn't make them less of a person. All right? And so the next one is environment. Does the location of a human determine personhood? Because the argument you'll get here is, well, they're just in the womb. And so because of that, because they're just in the womb, they don't have the rights of other human people. Well, let's apply that to a different, to our context, right? An astronaut is in a far different place. A scuba diver is in a far different place. An astronaut and a scuba diver are literally about as far apart as you could possibly be, but they're both still humans. They're both still people with rights. You and your parents right now are in different locations. None of your parents are in the same room, and yet you're both still people with the same rights. And so location doesn't really matter when you're talking about the rights of a human person. So taking that back, applying that to an unborn baby, just the fact that they are in a place that is literally a few inches different than where maybe that mom is not going to determine or lessen their rights as a person. So that would be the argument of environment. The next one you might hear is dependency. And this question means, hey, does the level of dependency determine personhood? Because the argument there would be, well, this baby is so dependent on mom for nutrition and for a hospitable environment, a hospitable place to grow and develop in the womb. All right? Well, I can tell you that I have two kids, and the oldest is two, and they are pretty much dependent on me for everything. And, you know, Harper cannot do pretty much anything. She could not go through a day without needing her dad or her mom. And even though Harper can do that, you guys can wake up in the morning and pretty much do everything you need to do to be ready for the day. You can eat breakfast. You can take a shower. You can get dressed. You can figure out a ride to school. All those things. But Harper, my daughter, is no less of a person than you just because she happens to be more dependent on her parents than you guys. And then you could even fast forward that later in life. Some of us have elderly relatives who are dependent on maybe people that are caring for them or other people in our families. They are no less than a person. They are no less a person than us just because they are dependent on somebody. And so you can apply that same argument to a baby inside a mom's womb. They go, hey, they're no less dependent than some other people. And just because they are more dependent doesn't make them less of a person. Okay, and so lastly, that last D is desirability. Does the level to which a human is wanted determine personhood? Because the argument would be, hey, that mom doesn't want to carry this child. This mom doesn't want to have a baby. This mom doesn't want to care for a child. Well, if an unborn baby is simply not wanted by the woman carrying it, does that mean he or she has less rights? And the answer to that is no, right? Like, even in the worst of circumstances, let's say your parent or guardian decided today, hey, I don't want to take care of my kid anymore. Well, that would be they would be in trouble with the law. That would be negligence. That would be a criminal act for them to do that. You would be taken care of. You would have the rights that would allow you to still be taken care of whether or not your parent or guardian wanted to care for you anymore. And so applying that back to that unborn baby, man, the same thing applies. Just the fact that somebody might not want to care for them doesn't make them less of a person. It doesn't determine personhood. And so that argument would fall flat as well. And so right there, you've got five arguments that are pretty common from people that would advocate for the rights for people to have abortions. But when we apply them across the entire human spectrum, we see that they really don't line up. Okay, and just before I go farther, I just want to give one quick note on this. I know probably most of you in here are not affected at this point in your life by the topic of abortion, other than the fact that you were not aborted and you were born. But some of you in here, some of you may have even had an abortion. Some of you may know somebody that did. Some of you may have encouraged somebody else to. And here's what I want you to know. God loves you. He doesn't love you any less than anybody else. And he's calling you to find healing in him, to not have to carry that alone. Even at this church, there are resources ready. There are people ready. There are things that have been created and groups that have been created and ministries that have been created to help people walking with the aftermath of an abortion. To walk through that past decision. I have friends that have chosen to have abortions. I have friends that have encouraged the women they were with to have abortions. And those people would tell you they regret that decision. But just like any bad decision, I mean, it doesn't have to define your life. It just doesn't. You can find healing in Christ. It's not something you should carry alone either. And so if that's you, or if that affects you in some way, here's my ask for you. Would you come tell us? Would you come tell me or Rebe? You can do it in a really chill way. You don't have to like come up right after, right? And so we're like, everybody's watching, but like, just give it a few minutes and you could come up and talk to us. And we would love to help you figure out, how do I walk with that? How do I deal with that? I've been hanging out with 6th, 7th, 8th graders long enough to know that this is something that affects a number of them and a number of you guys. And so if that's you, would you please come talk to us? We'd love to help you. So what I want to do next is I want to close our series of In God We Trust. I want to put a bow on it. So for over a month, we've been talking about issues that mark our living out In God We Trust in this country. Leadership, authority, LGBTQ, racial reconciliation, and then today, life and abortion. And that might be overwhelming. Like, that's a lot of topics. A lot of them are heavy topics. And I get that. But I want to simplify that. I want to bring in a thread that, if you've been paying attention, and if you think about it, unites all of those topics together. And really, affects your everyday lives. And it's a question. And it's a question that each of you should personally figure out an answer to. You need to have an answer to this question because it will affect your everyday lives. It will affect your response to all these topics and more. And here's the question. What does it mean to be human? And who decides that? So last week when Bree and I were sitting up here talking about racial reconciliation, you heard me throw out the term worldview. I'm going to throw it out again here one more time. I explain what it means. A worldview is simply that, the way that you view the world. Think about the idea of like putting on glasses. When you put on a certain shade of sunglasses, everything kind of becomes that shade, right? Well, a worldview is just that. When I put on these glasses, the way I see the world is defined and it changes. It's based on the lens and glasses that I'm looking through. And your worldview is determined by your beliefs and everything else, okay? And so one of the biggest worldview questions you can ask yourself is, what does it mean to be human and who decides that? And your answer to this question affects everything. So let me give you an example for that. There are people in the world that would say, they would answer this question by saying, hey, what it means to be human is that we have evolved from a single organism. There's no creator. Some matter somehow formed something from nothing. And over just a long, long, long time, we today have evolved from a single organism. And as a species, we're continuing to evolve until we reach some perfect state, right? Because everybody would agree, hey, this world is broken, and what's the solution? Well, that answer would be, hey, we're continuing to evolve until we reach some perfect state, or then the world is not broken. And because there's no overall creator, other humans, people are the ones who decide this, right? We decide this. Because there's no overall creator, we decide what it means to be human. And what we decide today may change down the road. And ultimately, it's kind of this survival of the fittest. And so that would be kind of the way that some people would answer this question. How they would answer, what does it mean to be human? But here's some of the effects of that. If that is the way somebody would answer this question, here's what comes from that. Because there's no overall creator, like we said, we decide what it means to be human. We, as people, are left to determine what's right and wrong. We are left to determine a person's value, which affects the decisions we make about them. It affects the way we treat them. And all the issues that we've talked about all of a sudden become at play here. I get to decide if I want to keep this baby or not because my wants are more important. If that's my answer to the question, that there's, I get to decide what it means to be human. I get to decide if I want to keep this baby. I get to treat other people how I want. I will choose to view someone of a different skin color as less than me. No one is around to tell me that they have any inherent value because people are the ones that are deciding what it means to be human. I have to look out for me above everything. I will decide what's right and wrong. I will decide what gender I am. I will decide all those things, and there's no creator to tell me differently. Authority, we talked about that the second week, I am my own authority. And we'll all kind of be each other's authority too, you know, as we're all trying to get better as a species, and what was maybe okay 50 years ago now is not okay, but what's okay 50 years from now is going to change from what it is today. And all those things come into play when that's the answer to that question. The answer to this question has a huge effect on the way that you look and treat other people. So what I want to do is answer this question from a Christian worldview. As somebody who's been following Jesus for like 18 or 19 years, here's how I would answer that question. I'd go back to this book, God's revealed word, the Bible. And I'll start in Genesis 1, 27 to 28. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I would also go to Psalm 139. And it says this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. I'm talking about God there in that psalm, which is a song, singing about how God has created them. And so based on scripture, based on God's revealed will, I believe the answer to that question is that God decides what it means to be human. As the creator of the universe, Jacob touched on this when he taught a couple weeks ago. As the creator, he decides what it means to be human because he created humans. And what he has decided is good. You see that in Genesis 1 and 2 all over the place. And what it means to be human is to be made in the image of God, male and female. He created them to be an image bearer. If you were here for our labeled series, we talked about that a ton. And that label of image bearer gives us worth and it gives us dignity. I believe God created each of us and each of us for a purpose that was also laid out in Genesis 1. To be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the earth and rule over it. And by the way, that word rule has a good connotation to it. Kind of like when a country has a good king, he promotes good for the whole country. When a good king rules over the people, everybody prospers. There's a proverb at the end that says this, towards the end of Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 29, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Because when somebody is a good king, a good ruler, they promote the good of everybody. And God's purpose for us in creating was to rule over the earth, to promote and cultivate good in this earth for his glory and for the good of all the other image bearers in this world. And that's what it means to be human, is to be made in the image of God, to have that purpose. And that's not even talking about the other purpose that we have for those of us that have put our faith in Christ, to make disciples. Right? If you go read the last chapter of Matthew, some of the last few verses, and you will see Jesus say, go and make disciples in my name. And so the answer to that question, the Christian worldview answer to that question of what does it mean to be human, that also has a lot of different effects over all the issues that we've talked about. If we are all image bearers, it is good to have a government which God ordained, which God instituted. It's good to have a government that protects its image bearers. And it's good to submit to a government so that it can protect the image bearers. If God has decided what it means to be human, it is not for me to decide anything other than that, including my gender, including my sexuality. God has decided that as the creator. And it is good. If you are an image bearer of God, there is no need to draw dividing lines around any other identities. You can rest in the fact that you are made in God's image, fearfully, wonderfully made in God's image. If what it means to be human is to be an image bearer of God and to promote the good of the other image bearers in this world, we are to protect that dignity. We're to protect that worth and we are to protect that value wherever we see it being harmed. Whether that is in the womb or whether that is out of the womb. Right? If we see people being persecuted, if we see people being treated unjustly because they're in the womb, or if we see people being treated poorly and unjustly because of their skin color, we as Christians are to step in and protect their worth and dignity and value. Because what it means to be human is to be made in the image of God. That's why we protect the common good of all people. That's why we want to promote good leaders over us so that they will protect our good. They will promote our good, and why we want to lead ourselves and others around us well so that we will also promote the good of other image bearers. And so you see how this question, what does it mean to be human and who decides that, affects literally everything, right? It's not just looking at a given issue or topic and saying, okay, I land here on this one. I think I land here on this topic. But then with this topic, I'm going to actually land here. It just doesn't work like that, right? The way that you answer that question is going to determine where you land on any number of topics, on every topic. And so the challenge that I want to give you guys, and that I want you to talk about in your small groups, and that I want you to wrestle with in your mind and talk with your parents about, is that question. What does it mean to be human, and who decides that? And how does that affect the way that I live? I know when we started this series 5 weeks ago, when you go, hey, we're starting a series kind of about government and being a citizen, I'm only in sixth, seventh, eighth grade. How does that apply to me? Well, this is how it applies to you. Is the answer to that question, the way you answer that question, what does it mean to be human, and who decides that? So that's my challenge for you. Figure that out and then live in light of it. And let me pray that we would. God, thank you that you have revealed to us what it means to be human in your word. You said we are made in your image on a soul level. Male and female, you created us. And God, we are grateful for that. Lord, we are not like the animals in this world. Lord, you have created us with souls and the ability to choose for ourselves free will, and yet also given us the opportunity to have a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. Not one that we deserve because of our sin, but one that was purchased by the sacrifice of Jesus. And so, God, I pray that we would put our faith in Christ, as Bree said last week, as the gate to salvation, but also the ground in which we walk. And I pray we would live in light of the reality that we're made in your image, and for those of us that have put our faith in you, that we're redeemed through your son's sacrifice on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And so, God, would you let that truth sink deep down in our hearts and affect the way that we live? Help us wrestle well with the question, what does it mean to be human and who decides that? Let that impact the way that we live and treat other people and promote the good for the other image bearers in this world, which is everybody. Thank you, God. We ask all this knowledge by your grace alone, for your glory and for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen.